Hey, afternoon, everyone, or evening, everyone, or midnight. This is We Watch Stuff 92. I'm Jeremy. Shahid's on the other end. What's going on this fine day?
Nothing much. I hope everyone is enjoying themselves wherever they are. We are definitely enjoying ourselves, and we have a unique show where it's no movie reviews because somebody saw a movie before the other person, and it's the reverse order that it normally is.
Well, it was fun, but you did go to the movies yesterday. Was it yesterday? Or was it
I went to the movies Wednesday to rewatch Logan. It was my second time watching it. It was my first time my wife watching it. And I guess we could start there. I was wondering, like, how would I have a reaction, like, because it's the second time seeing it for me, and how would it affect me as much. And it actually affected me more because I caught myself from, like, getting emotional. Like, I got emotional at the end the first time I saw it, but I didn't, like, shed any tears. But no, this time I actually did. And my wife did too. No, it was funny because you laughed, but it was maybe about 10 people in the theater, and they were all crying at the end of the movie. And I'm like, it's just still weird because I've been to movies that's been emotional, but I've never been to a comic movies where it's been like emotional like that. And this was like, you know, we went afternoon time around 5-ish. So it wasn't that many people in there. And yeah, it was people. I heard people like sniff. Like, we weren't even close to the gun. I heard like people like sniffling and stuff. So yeah. So I guess it was kind of like, it's just, it wasn't like a first time thing. It was like, it was one of those movies just touch people like that.
Well, it's funny. Another comic movie I can remember getting somewhat misty was at the end of Dark Knight Rises, when they have the fake funeral. Well, they have the funeral, and Alfred thinks that Bruce is actually dead. Mm-hmm. And Michael Caine breaks down and just starts, because especially with the way he was treated in that movie, that he had, like, there was no chance of redemption with Bruce. You know, there was no, like, coming together. It was, mm-hmm. he dies on him, and he's just saying, talking to his parents, saying, "I failed you, and I failed you." I was like, oh my God, oh my God. this is not how this is supposed to go.
Yeah, so, what a way to end, like, a long friendship on, like, negativity, basically.
and especially, like, you know, he was tasked with, you know, keeping after him, or keeping his well-being. He failed that, mm-hmm. And then that's what made, and I've thought about this a lot, actually, how different that movie would have been if they wouldn't have shown Bruce and Selina sitting at that table. It would have just been, your last image would have been of Alfred just breaking down, saying what a failure he was. And it's like, oh my God, that would have been a heavy, heavy way to end that series, which, I mean, would have been fitting, I guess. But luckily they rectified it. But I went and saw Kong Skull Island last night, which is the movie Shahid's going to go see tonight. And there are parts in that, without giving anything away, that just hit you straight in the feels. And I was surprised. But there was one thing, and Elise pointed it out as well. And I think this is just a universal rule. If it's furry, you like it. If it's a lizard, fuck it. Just kill that thing immediately. And boy, does that apply in this movie. So it doesn't give anything away. I mean, until Godzilla shows up in the end. But, you know, whatever. So that doesn't happen, actually. Spoilers, everyone. That doesn't happen. So
you're going to get... See, it's stuff like this why people get mad at people.
No, Godzilla's honestly not. He's not in it.
Yeah.
So, I was kind of hoping, but...
Yeah, well, saving for the future. And it was funny because I was talking to a few people. They, like, they're going to see the movie. And the one thing they worried about was kind of timing, because it's going to suffer from the fact that it's coming out while another big movie is out, and it's coming out right before a big movie comes out. So it may not make as much as it normally would. And I was like, yeah, but you look at the movie schedule, if it didn't come out now, the next, like, really open time is like mid-August. So, because I was just looking, like, we had talked about on different shows, but really starting now, like, I think once Logan dropped, that's been, like, from now to August, is something big coming out almost every week. at least one. In some weeks, it's like two movies.
Yeah, I've got the list pulled up in front of me, actually. And next week is Beauty and the Beast. And I put Trainspotting, the second one, but I don't think that's a wide release. Plus, a very niche audience on that one, I would think. Yeah. So,
because basically it's like that, and then Ghost in the Shell and Life.
No, you skip Power Rangers.
Oh, yeah, Power Rangers, Ghost in the Shell, Life. Then another week goes by, and then like Fast 8,
which then we'll get to in a little bit. Mm-hmm. But yeah,
yeah, and then it like just goes like snowballs from there. So, but yeah, so. So it's one thing we didn't talk about because of time, and we didn't get the chance to, unfortunately. And it's somebody had passed away that was in a lot of movies that we both grew up on and enjoy, and that's Bill Paxton.
Yeah, from I just had to pull up, but I went away from it. I guess Complications, or it was heart failure. Was he the one that had? I can't find it now. Damn it! And I clicked off of it.
Basically, complications from surgery to fix up. Yeah, so.
Is you know, whenever someone says, "Oh, I'm just having minor surgery done," my immediate thought is, "No, there's no minor surgery. If they're knocking you out for something, something bad can happen."
Yeah,
I don't understand this arrogance that now you'll be fine. No,
because it's because it happens all the time. People don't think. I'm like, no. Once anesthesia is involved, like any type of surgery. Yeah. Where they open, like once anesthesia is involved, or once they break in the skin, all bets are off, because it's kind of like something can turn sideways extremely easy, especially if you're elderly or if you have underlying issues in the first place. So it's like that whole people like, oh, you know, they say they joke around, say, oh, the surgery was success. Has it ever been failure? I'm like, yeah, they have been failures when they like end up missing a leg or they end up dying.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that means the surgery wasn't a success. So don't sleep on surgeries, folks.
No, it's even I had a friend that I worked with. She went in for a simple hysterectomy, and from the hysterectomy, she caught an unknown blood clot and died. She was 30. She had a little girl, and her husband was like just finishing college. You know, he's doing one of the online stuff. Yeah, so it's I've never subscribed to that, and that was one of like the eye opening ones. But whenever someone says, "Yeah, well, they're just going in like athletes," they talk about athletes going, "Oh, he's just going to get his knee scoped." That sounds awful. They put you out for that, right? I would think.
Yeah, they don't want you, for the most part, they do. Like, they don't want you awake while you're opened up. Like, when I had my elbow surgery, they gave me all the damn drugs. And I remember counting down from 100, and the next thing I know, surgery was over. The next thing I remember was waking up.
Yeah, that's sneaky shit. It's like, if I ever have to get surgery again, I'm like, nah, I know your little witch doctor rules here. Because the two times I've had it, it was the same thing. And that was the weirdest experience I've ever had. When they tell you to count down and you wake up, I'm like, okay. The second time, and that the first time I had my back done, it was in the early morning. The second time I had it done, it was mid-afternoon. I say like noon, 1 o'clock. I actually remember waking up while they were still working. You couldn't feel anything.
Ooh. Yeah, because like, I
wasn't
wide
awake,
everything.
But I was cognizant of what was going on, and that was the worst. I'd much rather just wake up in the bed and be like, oh, you guys done? Cool. So, but yeah, luckily that was in college, so don't
Have
that.
And it's funny because I was reading a story to talk about how the anesthesiologist always wants you to disclose marijuana use in places like, well, I don't want to get in trouble. It's like, you know, it's not about a moral thing. It's like that affects the drugs you use. Like, they don't want you waking up halfway through an open heart surgery or not waking up, period. So, but anyway, like, shots.
Sorry,
you know,
to get back to the important subject.
Yeah, man, because I remember texting you, like, it happened, the story dropped, like, early in the morning, matter of fact, and I remember sending it to you, and you was like, because I was feeling the same thing, I was like.
That was the first thing I read that day. I had woken up and got that. And I just went, oh my God, and at least, what's the matter? I'm like, Bill Paxton died. not the reaction I was hoping for. She goes, "Who's that?" I was like, "Oh my god!" And then I started describing the roles he was in. She goes, "He died?" It's like, "Yeah, yeah, yes." It's just sad.
I mean, yeah, it's kind of like, you know, if it's one of those things, like, he's been in a lot of movies, a lot of people watch, but he's never really been the star of, I guess, the closest one, like, Twister. But unless you, like, really watch movies, it's going to be a lot of people like, huh? Like, if I ask my wife who that is, she's not going to know. But I like it, you know, if you saw Twister or the guy in Twister. And then maybe she'll get that. But other than that, it's kind of like he was in... It's funny where, you know, like Terminator, he was in there for a little bit, but he was like one of the biggest things in Aliens.
Yep.
Like, I think that character, it's funny, like, that movie, the impact this had on, like, action movies. Because people kind of, like, think that whole, it's the whole stereotype, a group of soldiers have different archetypes and they get together. Like that. I'm like, Aliens kind of did that first. Like, it's the reason why that's a stereotype now. And a lot of it's because of that movie. And a lot of it has to do with him. Like, even if you've never seen, you don't remember Aliens, if you come up to somebody say, like, game over, they'll know what you're talking about. Like, they'll remember what you're talking about. Like, he had a lot of quotable, like, almost everything that came out of his mouth was, like, quotable as hell. And that's really the story of him. It's kind of like, if you've seen the movie, you remember him in the movie. Like, you know, Predator 2, I remember him being in that movie. Like, True Lies, him just being a dickhead used car salesman, pretending to be a spy and macking on Schwarzenegger's wife, like, and just being so miserable and pathetic and just at the bottom of the barrel and just claiming it. Like, yeah, that's not stuff you forget about.
The one I went with Elise was, I just said, Chet from Weird Science. And she immediately went, "Oh my god." And that's, yeah, because that was the first time I remember seeing him. And then I saw him in Aliens, like, wait, what? What's that guy doing in here? And then True Lies. And then, did you ever see, was it Near Dark? I think it was the vampire one.
I heard about that, I never saw
it. Dude, that's a great movie. I know I couldn't remember the name of it, but I remember the movie itself. It is great, and he's fantastic in it. But he's also been in so many giant movies. Which is the other funny thing. He was in Titanic. You know, he was a lead with blonde hair, which was very strange. That must have been that, you know, late 90s period. He was in Terminator. Well, Predator 2, but...
I mean, Predator 2 was kind of like... It was known, you know. It's not necessarily a big movie, but it's a movie. And it's like it's a movie people have seen.
Yeah, and it's funny because I don't remember... I saw that in theater, but I don't remember too much about it. I know that the Predator didn't kill the lady because she was pregnant. And then the ship comes down to get the Predator at the end, and they take off, and then there's an alien skull in there. And that got everyone, you know...
Yeah, and basically Danny Glover running around being too old for this shit. It's funny thing about, like, Danny Glover, action star, but, like, he was in shape, and he was a star back then, so... It's weird thinking of it now, but it wasn't weird thinking of it then. But it's kind of like, even, you know, I know he was in Tombstone.
Yes.
Like, you know, he was in Twister. He was in Titanic. But even then, like, you know, I never saw Hatfield McCoy's, but I know a lot of people watched that when it came on, like, that miniseries on CBS with him and Costner. And
he's also in, I think it was like a Gettysburg. There was some sort of new miniseries that just came out he was in, too. Let me see if I got it pulled up real quick. It's called Texas Rising. Never mind, not Gettysburg. Although, let me see if he was in Gettysburg as well. Wouldn't surprise me. But yeah, I mean, he's been in a ton of stuff. And also, he was a director. But did you ever see the Twister ride video that him and Helen Hunt are in?
No, I have not.
Oh my god, you've got to watch this. I had never seen it, but I was in Universal for WrestleMania 24 down in Orlando. They have Twister the Ride. It's pretty cool, man. You're in the middle of all these, like, special effects, and you see, like, you know, they reenact the tornado going through the drive-in and all that stuff. Well, the highlight of it is a very cocksure Bill Paxton talking about Twisters. And he's doing it in the most, like, maverick, cavalier sort of attitude. And I think it was... And you can't... If you can't do his voice, the words just sound normal. Because he had a very distinct way of talking. And... Mm. You gotta see it, basically. And... It almost would have made Twister better if he was like that in Twister. Just cocksure... You know, tornadoes are the most devastating force of mankind. And he's just standing there, like hand on hip, just staring at the screen. I was like, this is fantastic. And my ex-wife and I, in a rare moment of her having a sense of humor, actually, we both started laughing at the same thing. So, that sounded way more negative than it should have, but we didn't have the same sense of humor. So,
I kind of picked up on that. But even, like, in his elder, like, you know... I remember, like, S.H.I.E.L.D., one of the reasons S.H.I.E.L.D. became good was when he joined season one and just came just enjoying every second of him just eating up the damn script. Like, he knew what the show he was doing, and you could tell he was having fun doing it, and you could tell everybody around him was having fun with him.
Yeah, John Garrett, he was only in 6 episodes. Yep, and... It was, you know, he was just supposed to be, he was another, for those who haven't seen this stuff, he was another, why am I missing, a Hydra agent, and then didn't he become, like, part robotic or something? What was the, wasn't it at the end he, like, replaced part of himself, and then you think he's gonna come back? Oh, yeah, because it was with the Deathlok. Deathlok was involved, so he was gonna replace parts of him with that. And then a laser just shoots and destroys him. When you think that he's going to come back from the dead. And it was like, well, I guess that's a final. And I was actually disappointed that happened. Because he made the most of kind of a one-dimensional character and actually added depth to it. To where I didn't want to see him killed. He could have killed off Ward and kept him around. That would have been great. But
it's funny how... Ward end up just being going from Mr. Dull and Boring to one of the best villains Marvel's had, period. But who would have guessed that? But it was like he was on that, and then like later movies, Two Guns with Denzel Washington. Like, that's a funny movie. Like, Denzel, Mark Wahlberg, one having amazing chemistry, and then between him and James Marsden being the main villains, and like Edward James almost. Like, that's a weird, like, villain group. When somebody say, I'm going to have Edward James Olmos, Bill Paxton, and James Marsden, and they're going to be the villains of the movie. And it works. And they all, like, dickheads in their own way. Like, him just being, like, a Texas CIA guy and having this draw, like, I know you're a big-time drug dealer with your big self and everything, and that's all good, but I'm the United States of America, and I represent him. Like, him just being and he was just... evil. Like, he was stapling people's hands, he was shooting people, like, basically, I want my money, I don't care who I get my money, I'm gonna shoot everybody I need to. But had, like, that almost kind of like how Donald Pierce was in Logan, but the accent was just sticking. Like, he did bad things, but he wasn't, you know, being all, he was, it seemed like he wasn't evil till he did evil stuff, if that makes sense.
Oh my god, I'm listening to you and I'm looking up other roles that we may have forgotten. I forgot he was Coconut Pete in Club Dread. That wasn't a good movie, but again, just Bill Paxton shows up in disguise, basically. But yeah, Two Guns, I enjoyed that, but then, yeah, all those fringe evil characters, even, what's the girl's name? When she turns out to be evil as well.
Oh, Paula Patton.
Yeah.
Oh, that was hurtful. Like, wait, she's a crook?
Yep.
I was like, yeah, that was definitely unexpected. And then you don't expect her to, like, you know how they say, I'll get my money, I'm going to shoot the girl. They never shoot the girl. They, like, no, they shot her. And that was like, wow. That was definitely unexpected. Like, I guess he is a man of his word. But, yeah. And, and Edge of Tomorrow.
Yes. Yep, I had that one on the list, too. Mm-hmm. And he was also in Nightcrawler. Wasn't he one of the, for the few people who have seen a very good movie, he was one of the rival
camera guys. I do remember.
I want to say paparazzi, but that's not it. So, It's funny, he actually took off from movies from I'm looking on IMDb. I'd never watched the show, but Big Love, he did that between 2006 and 2011, and he didn't make a whole lot of movies in between. Until that show was over, then he got back into it. Wow, that's kind of ballsy. I mean, he had worked pretty steadily up until then, and then all of a sudden just took off for the movie game again, or took off for TV, then right back to the movies. And then back to TV for a training day, which I'd never seen, so I don't...
I didn't even know it started yet. I had no idea they were talking about it. I know the reviews was kind of like, you know, whatever, but I didn't know it was actually like a thing. Like, I didn't know it was actually on, so I was like, oh, well, we don't know what we're going to do now. Training day is not a thing. I can't do it.
I don't know how you continue without the lead. I'm sorry, one half of the lead tandem, but I guess if the show wasn't that good to begin with, not to blame him, obviously, but you can change it up, I suppose. But I didn't get it when they said they were making a Training Day TV show. Like, how do you stretch out evil cop for that
Yeah, like, it's a way to do it, but you got these shows doing it. Like, that's basically, you got that Jennifer Lopez Ray Liotta show that's on. It's like,
oh yeah, I forgot about that one.
That's basically that, except for the name. And I know why they did it, but it's kind of like, you know, Lethal Weapon worked because that's a story that easily works, and they just happen to be surprisingly good. And, like, I haven't watched it, but the people who have watched it, who's like, opinions I kind of trust, it said it's good. It gets good ratings. It's been, you know, renewed for another season. I know, which one did they do? Jackie Chan, Chris, Rush Hour. I know that was hot garbage.
Oh, that didn't even look good. Lethal Weapon at least looks like that might be okay. I haven't seen it, so I don't know. But yeah, Rush Hour, oh boy.
So it's kind of like, yeah, it's a shame that that's a thing. Like, you know, and he wasn't necessarily that old. And it's kind of like, you know, you start looking back. It's like, yeah, he was in that. He was in this. I remember that. And it's just, it's like, it's weird because it's like, you know, you don't really think of Bill Paxton until you watch one of his movies. Like, oh, I remember Bill Paxton. Like, he's like a, you know, comfortable blanket. Like one of those. It's funny, like me thinking like the guys that aren't stars, kind of like a lot of movies you like, and he's really kind of like high up there. It's when I always think like him, and I think like James Cromwell, and then I think like everybody else underneath. Like, they aren't stars, but they're in a lot of movies that you enjoy, yeah, and you always like when they show up.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys. Like, you mentioned Ronnie Cox last week, and all the stuff he's been in, but he wasn't known. I'm sure in acting circles, all these guys are pretty well regarded. But yeah, it's just those guys show up in movies. You're like, oh yeah, there he is.
Yeah. Like, you wouldn't know, like, oh, like if I say Ronnie Cox, unless you're like a movie guy, you don't know. But I was like, the guy from Beverly Hills Cop 2, the guy from Beverly Hills Cop, and the guy from RoboCop.
And
the guy from Total Recall.
Thank you.
Like,
yeah.
It's like, so if you've seen those, then you know. Like, Michael Ironside's kind of the same way. Like, he's been in a lot of stuff. But it's like, who's Michael Ironside? I was like, oh, guy in Total Recall, the guy in Highlander 2, the guy in Starship Troopers. Like, it was hilarious when he showed up in X-Men First Class, looked like he had enjoyed the buffet. And I was like, wow, I didn't know he was in the movie. Like, he's in the movie. So it's like, it's a lot of people like that. And it's funny, like, women is really, I guess, CCH Pounder is the closest one. Like, you don't have a lot of women that's, like, in a lot of stuff, but they're not stars because women don't work as much. Or when they do, it's kind of like you don't notice them. And not, like, that's funny. Like, she's the first name that kind of popped up in my brain like that. Like, she's in a lot of stuff, but I can never remember her being a star in anything.
I'm trying to think of another woman like that. And especially with her, she's got such a distinct voice as well. You know when it's her. So, like, I mean, she was Amanda Waller in the Justice League cartoon. Or animated series, whatever you want to call it. And it was obvious it was her. But I'm trying to think of another that...
Yeah.
You know, okay. This is... this doesn't really apply, but I'm just going to try and say her name. Wendy Jo Sperber, I believe her name was. She was in all the old 80s, like, I don't want to say sex comedies, but they kind of were in some of them. She was always the fat girl with, like, the bad black hair and glasses. Yeah, I said it was obscure. Why I remember that name, I don't know. But, so yeah, we'll go CC Pounder. That's fine.
Yeah, like, it's like, it fits, but, you know, it's kind of like, yeah, RIP to the king of those guys. It's like those guys' Hall of Fame. And it's like, you know, he's done a lot of stuff. He's definitely going to be missed. Mm-hmm. And at least we can still have those movies that we can watch him in.
And it's funny, I didn't know this. I didn't recall. He's actually the only guy to ever be killed by an alien, Terminator, and Predator.
No, it's him and somebody else. Okay. It used to be just him. It's him and Lance Henriksen.
What? Lance Henriksen was in Predator?
He was in Alien versus Predator.
How's that? I guess that counts.
you know,
it's like,
yeah, that, if it has an alien and a Predator in the same movie.
But do you consider those movies canon, though? It's like, okay, whatever.
It's funny, like, arguing about canon when it comes to, like, those movies scenes, kind of, like, nitpicky considering those movies came up because somebody just threw a skull in the background of Predator 2, and everybody thought how cool that was, and that's what led to that. The whole thing's like, we always talk about be careful what you wish for. Like, everybody wanted to see it, so they saw it, and then... And then the funny thing was, they was like, oh, well, that movie doesn't work because it's not R-rated. So they made the next one R-rated and was more gory, and that one was worse.
It didn't exactly have the star power behind them. Like, who was the guy that made them? C. Anderson? No. Weren't there, like, two... There was Paul Anderson, and then there was...
No, Paul Anderson made the first one. W.S. Anderson, the guy that does the Resident Evil movies. He did the first one. The people that did, I think, Skyline did the second one.
Neville,
what was that? Yeah, the Strauss brothers or something like that.
Hang on, I'm trying to figure out what Skyline is. It sounds familiar. Oops.
It's like the movies, like somebody did on like a laptop. Like, it's an alien invasion in Los Angeles, but you only see like 8 people, and they're like in a apartment building.
Oh, yeah. I actually kind of enjoyed that. It wasn't great, but... Okay,
I mean,
It's
fine for what it was, considering it was made on, like, a small-ass budget. Yeah. Like, it looked a lot more expensive than it really was, so... Yeah, I didn't necessarily have a problem with it either.
Yeah, because I remember there being, some sort of controversy with that and Battlefield Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
Because
they kind of looked the same and seemed to have, like, the same... Like, until you see the movies, they look... And seemed like it had the same damn plot, so it almost kind of like one stole from the other.
Well, I think the Strauss brothers were involved with one of the two, and then left for the other one. I can't remember. So, but boy, they haven't done. I'm just trying to see what they've done since that movie. Not a whole lot of directing, though. Yeah, Skyline was the last thing they directed. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, they got their ass handed to them then. They are visual effects guys for sure, because they are all over the place. Yeah, working on Geostorm, which I haven't watched the trailer for, but yeah, they worked on X-Men Apocalypse, Hardcore Henry, which I've not seen. I still want to see that. San Andreas, Into the Storm. Yeah, they're big special effects guys apparently. So,
yeah, it's kind of like, I guess them. You know, everybody can't make the... You know, transition or the promotion. Like the guy that was doing, like the cinematographer for Nolan. When what was that movie? The Johnny Depp and Transcendence.
Oh God!
Yeah, it was kind of like
yeah.
Sometimes you know, everybody, I'm ready for the big leagues. It's like, yeah, you know, I'm cool. You work with Christopher Nolan, don't make me Christopher Nolan. And I always laugh at that when I see all the in movies. Or like all those directors, because you can tell it's one director, what's his name, Pierre Morel, that's okay, and it's the guy that's horrible, and you can kind of tell watching. It was like, yeah, Luc Besson, like, you can hang around Luc Besson, but they don't make you Luc Besson, and just because his name on it doesn't mean it's necessarily his movie. And it's like, be careful who's directing it. It's funny how that works though. How it's like some people can branch off and just do their own thing, and some just can't.
No, there's a lot of guys like that, and it doesn't make sense. I don't know. Like Spielberg always works with, well, not I guess not anymore, but he worked with the same cinematographer a lot for a reason, and that guy never really branched out. But I'm trying to think of like a successful guy, and it's no one's coming to mind.
Yeah, like eventually it's kind of they will, but it's like the closest ones, and they're not really effects guys. They're more, and it's funny, like it's Leachin, what's his name? People that did John Wick.
Oh, okay.
Like both of them, because they were like stuntmen and then stunt directors, and then you know it's weird. It's funny, like it makes sense where it's like you know somebody that does stunts know how stunts should look and how to film it, but you never would think of that to like give them a chance to be directors, and it worked with them, and like they're both doing their own thing when they're not working together. So, but that's more like the exception, not the rule.
Well,
normally you get like one chance, and if you don't get it right, like I know, what was it? The guy that directed Catwoman worked with somebody. No, the one with Halle Berry. Like he had worked. I want to say with the Wachowskis or somebody, and he did like two movies, and then that was it.
That's a movie I have very, very directly tried to forget about. Oh my god, the guy's name... Pitoff? P-I-T-O-F was the director of it. And let's see what he's done since. A lot of visual effects, still working. Director, Fire and Ice, and a video short. So yeah, he got screwed. It really is amazing. Like, do you really think that was his fault? With that script, was anybody going to get something better out of that?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Me and Cam had the same thing. That's the first and last movie I went to see solely because somebody was attractive. The only reason I went to see that movie was because Halle Berry was going to walk around with that costume on. And I was ashamed of myself. Like, this movie is garbage. And I'm like, I only went here because Halle Berry was in it. And she looked great in that Catwoman costume. But I'm like, I'm not a canon person. I'm not a story. But I'm like, it's nothing in this story that makes any sense whatsoever. It's like, this just seems like an abomination.
Yes. And that derailed her career for a while.
Yeah.
And
that,
the same with Sharon Stone.
And Sharon Stone. And like, Benjamin Bratt didn't do him any favors either. And it's funny, the guy, what's his name? Lambert Wilson, like the Merovingian from The Matrix. He was in Catwoman. I haven't seen him in anything since. And I remember liking him. Like, I remember him being awesome, like The Matrix Reloaded, and then seeing him pop up. Yeah, like, sometimes it's like that.
Yeah, I'm checking to see what else he's done.
So I found one cinematographer.
Still working, but nothing we've seen.
So I found one cinematographer that had a decent run as a career, and that's Jan de Bont. He did Twister and he did Speed. So
didn't he also do the first XXX?
No, that else? Rob Cohen did the first XXX.
There we go. He was quite a career as a cinematographer too.
Yeah,
holy shit.
Know.
I mean, especially on the IMDb page, the thing is known for Die Hard, Hunt for Red October, Basic Instinct, Lethal Weapon 3.
Hunt for Red October, wow. and Black Rain. Yeah, and then so he had like a long ass run.
He was a director for Speed 2, Twister, The Haunting, oof, and then Lara Croft, The Cradle of Life.
Okay, I think that's the second Tomb Raider.
Yeah.
So, but other than that, normally it doesn't. It's, you know, it's kind of like you might. It doesn't work out that way. It's like it's a reason in the, you know, the passenger seat, not the driver's seat.
Yeah, because he hasn't directed a movie since that Lara Croft movie, 2005. I think that was 2005. Yeah. That's I'll just go back to it. It's like, damn, that, you know, Speed made money, Twister made money, regardless of what people thought about it. I don't know if Speed 2 did. I never saw it.
No, Speed 2 didn't. I think Speed 2 kind of derailed. It's, you know, it's like a lot of
director credit, like Cruise Control, mind you.
But you know, I know something when it comes to like directors, unless you're a real, real big name, and even then, you're not exempt. Once you have a bomb, that's like a big one. If you don't bounce back from that one, you don't bounce back. Like, you get like one chance. And a lot of times, you see like a bomb, they might make one more thing, and you're done.
Yeah, I think he had two bombs in a row, because I don't think that Tomb Raider, the second one, did very well either. So,
well, they made, that's the funny, like, I bet they probably made more than we think they did, because I remember Tomb Raiders being, like, I don't know anyone who's watched those movies, but those movies make money. And I like, probably because Angelina Jolie was in it back when she was like movie star Angelina Jolie.
Yes, she was. And now, never mind.
And it's funny, I'm just
go downhill on that one. So.
No, and it's just funny just thinking about, you know, how she was basically like perfectly cast in those movies, because back then, like, yeah, she just looked like the character. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember seeing that as like, that's a awesome fit. Like, sometimes you don't see the fit when they do that, but it just grows on you, like Chris Evans being Captain America. Yeah. Like, I couldn't picture anybody else doing it now. There's no in the world I could have pictured him being that. But like, when her and Tomb Raider, yeah, that was an easy fit. Like, she looks like her, she's an action star, and she can act, so yeah, the first one made $274 million.
You gotta remember what year this was too, so that's probably not too bad.
Yeah,
I guess how much did it cost, but
probably not $274 million. The second one made $156 million. So yeah. Mm. Yeah, and now we get and it's funny with sequels, like that's normal with sequels, but you don't think about that now because it's like comic sequels are the exception, not the rule, where the sequels now make more than originals. Because it used to be the sequels made more like back in the 80s, like even early 90s, but after that, it's kind of like not necessarily. Like, usually the sequel usually what happened is the second one might make more off the name of the first one, but the third ones and ones after that tend to make less. And like, this year has been like, John Wick is like the exception this year, because it made so much more, it's still making more money than the first one ever did. And like, Logan, yeah, we were wondering how well it was going to do. I thought it was going to do well. I don't think anybody thought it was going to do as well as it did, because it basically was like the fifth highest R-rate, like most grossing R-rated movie of all time, and the ones ahead of it all had like holiday weekends. Like, so they had like extra days to be counted. So yeah, it made almost $89 million.
We talked about this on a different show, but I think the positioning of it, I know John Wick 2 came out, but as much as we like John Wick, that's still a small audience. And Logan, you know, with the built-in X-Men audience, getting out of the gate first, I think that probably helped it quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why we're seeing this.
Yeah, I think getting out the gate first, and then the fact that it had good review, it had the combination of, it was a movie people wanted to see, it had extremely good reviews from fans and critics, and it was kind of like Hugh Jackman's last one. And then the fact that it's kind of like, it was nothing else. Really, the only thing else was Get Out. And it's funny, like, they both made a lot of, because Get Out did well, too. And
now, that 50 Shades Darker, as much as we don't care about it, that's,
I mean, that was out, but it's kind of like, it's making more money overseas than here. It was kind of like, that movie was kind of more front-loaded. Because you notice, like, everyone wanted to see that movie, and then it had bigger drops like in this following weeks than like John Wick did, and Hidden Figures and Get Out did. It's like, the people who wanted to see it went and saw it. The other movies, like, people went to see it late, or people, you know, went to see it again. And this one is like, it's funny where on one hand it's like, it doesn't seem, that money doesn't seem like a big deal, because like, you know, Civil Wars and event, like, they made like 150, 160. I'm like, X-Men movies never really made a lot of money. People think they should make money, but it's like, they, like, 80, 90 is high for them. And it's kind of like, you look at the ones that made the most, it's kind of like Days of Future Past made around 90. X-Men, or like the first Wolverine made 85, but that was like everyone's excited to see Wolverine, and then that dropped like a damn rock. And then, but even like the second Wolverine movie, like, made like 50 its first week, but it ended up doing better worldwide than the first one did. Like, and then it's the whole thing, like, R ratings make a difference, for better or for worse. And it was wondering, like, how important is timeline and canon is to you when it comes to movies?
Timeline? Not really. I think in the case of Wolverine, the Wolverine movies, they made the mistake of trying to, with the X-Men Origins, really trying to fit, like, shoehorn in stuff. The second one, the end, they kind of brought it back to the X-Men universe. And I know it was strongly tied to it, with, like, Jean Grey dying, whatever. But that could have been whatever. And they didn't even explain, like, why were Magneto and Charles Xavier at the airport at the end of The Wolverine? You know? Yeah. Because it takes place in the future. The next X-Men movie takes place in the future. And he's got his claws back. They're like, ah, to hell with that ending. We're going to do our own thing. And even in this one, he's got his metal claws back. And it was never explained how the hell he got the claws back. I mean, I know he had the bone claws, mind you. But how did he get the adamantium back on his claws? So, to me, Wolverine kind of stands on its own with that. It's like, I'm going to go do my own stuff. And then, you nerds over here, you go and figure it out. Because we're just going to try and make the best movie we can.
Yeah. See, here's my take on it. It's kind of like, there's benefits and consequences to doing it both ways. Because Marvel has its ways where everything movie-wise is linked.
Oh, and yeah. We got to talk about Thor for that, especially for that one.
Yeah, and it's kind of like, you know, this stuff happens, and like, kind of like, everything has a reason. And if you watch the movies, everything has weight and makes sense. X-Men is kind of like, their timeline is all over the place. And some people get mad saying, like, they want to have the cake and eat it too, where it's like James Mangold say, those movies don't count, so don't worry about it. But then they use stuff from the movies in the movie, and it's like, you're cheating. And my whole thing is like, I don't really care, because like, I've seen those movies. So I know that stuff happened. Even if they don't talk about it, it doesn't count. Like, those memories still exist. The weight still exists. And it's kind of like, they built on the fact that they've been doing these characters for so long. And the people who tend to see Logan, like, they have probably seen the other X-Men movies. I doubt someone went to see Logan his first time. Like, that's the first X-Men movie they've seen. Like, it might have been a few, but I seriously doubt that's the case. It's kind of like, it's not a Fast and Furious thing where people tend to get curious, and I was like, well, all my friends are talking about it, I'm gonna jump on and see. It's like, this one's kind of like, you kind of know by now. Almost like the same thing like Marvel movies. It's like, it's not, I doubt somebody's gonna see Guardians of the Galaxy 2, and that's the first time they've ever seen a Marvel movie in the United States. Like, it might be a few. I seriously doubt it's a large number, so that part doesn't bother me. But I can get why it bothers other people, because they play loosey-goosey with timelines. It's like, you know, well, what counts and what doesn't count, and you can go crazy trying to get it. But on the other hand, with like Marvel, it's certain risks they won't take, because it's kind of like, we're going to make the money we make if we do this, and everyone has to fit a certain thing, so we can't have something super violent fitting in with other stuff. But then it's like, that constrains you to having a sense where it's like, people make the argument like, all your movies kind of look the same. Even though they don't, that argument comes in. And then it's funny, before we did the show, I was watching Civil War for some reason. I was just killing time. And it's like the scene in the beginning where they're fighting Crossbones, and like Falcon is oozing people down and blowing up with rockets. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's the first time it sunk in. It's like, he's straight out killing people.
Yep.
And
I have seen that. Because you forget he's a soldier. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, I've seen that movie like at least 5 or 6 times. It's one of my favorite comic movies. But the violence never really sunk into me at that part. Like, violence at the end sunk in when like Captain America and Iron Man was fighting, and that whole like emotional fight. But when they're out and about, they're shooting people, blowing people up, it just zooms right over me. And I never really thought about it until I saw Logan, And then I remember we talk about all the time, like that whole bloodless violence where you don't see the after effects. It's like, it has a way of sneaking up on you. You don't even realize what you're seeing. Like, he's blowing them up with missiles. They're not, and it's not like they're rolling out. It's not like the 18 where the truck blows up and they jump out the passenger seat.
And they wave down, like, we're okay.
Yeah, like, or like the G.I. Joe cartoons where they're blowing up stuff but no one ever gets hit. It's like, no, these people are getting shot and hit, but it's like they cut away 2 seconds after so you don't think about it. And I was like, that seemed like that's worse. Because it kind of like just says like, it don't, like, oh, you know, it's violence, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't count that much. I'm like, dead is dead. That counts. And I think it almost, like, it dehumanized. Like, it just takes the weight out of it. And that's not necessarily a good thing.
Yeah, it was funny. I was, when I went to grab food before we started doing this, we've got, like, creative loafing. Just, like, you know, your local zine, whatever. And it's always just written by people's perspectives that, I just shake my head, like, I don't know why you exist. And the movie guy, who I purposely don't read movie reviews most of the time now. For whatever reason, they reviewed Logan. I'm like, all right, let me see what he had to say about it, because I haven't heard anything but universal praise for it. You know where this is going. So, It said, Wolverine goes out in Logan's uninspired finale, and I was like, oh god, and I should have just stopped. But you know what, you get sucked in by that headline. I was like, what did this dummy say? And I realized after reading it, that's why, like, he was being, I don't know what his name is, I'm just not gonna get impressed, but it was a totally irrational take on it. It was this, you know, it was blaming Deadpool for making comic movies R-rated, even though Deadpool should have been R-rated. And then it goes in to talk about how Wolverine, while violent, you know, he's shown the ability or compunction to kill in the past, but then this time it just goes over the top and the violence is unnecessary. And I'm thinking, did you not get the movie? Like, did you not watch it? Because this is clearly a broken guy at the end of his run with no time, and basically saying that this was just a video game.
And it's like, that demeans the whole point of the movie. It's, yes, like violence and the ugliness of it and the effect it has on you, but regardless. Like, one of the lines was like, you know, X-23 saying like, yeah, I killed people, they were bad, and Wolverine like, that's not gonna make a difference. Like, killing, like, you're still gonna feel it. Like, the whole "they're bad" thing might justify this year for the right reasons, but that doesn't take away the weight of it. And I've heard a lot of people like that saying they're mad because, like, now people don't have an idea. Like, people who have no ideas about comics are going to think that R is the way to go. I'm like, no. Every comic movie shouldn't be R-rated, but plenty of them should be. Like, this whole idea is like they all need to be PG-13 is nonsense, too. Like, for Marvel, yeah, Iron Man doesn't really need to be rated R. Thor, anything like that. You can't tell me the Punisher is a PG-13 character. Like,
can you imagine how dumb? I mean, not that the Punisher movies were great. Can you imagine how dumb the Punisher movies would be if, like, because you know they'd give him like a laser gun? And honestly, I've changed my tune on this movie. That RoboCop remake, that was idiotic. The way they gave him lasers instead of just guns. But I mean, they had to market it so you could get the money, but It affected the movie. And that just instigated me, like,
yeah, like, I mean, it's just, it kind of, one thing I like about the movie is that it made the audience like feel like a grown up. It's like, you know, a lot of stuff happened off screen, a lot of stuff kind of happened like they told you and they showed you, you know, or glossed over and everything. But it's kind of like, I don't necessarily need to have my hand held all the time. And it's not a bad, like, and it's not a whole either or. I like both. I like Marvel doing stuff the way they do it, because that works for them. And I like Fox doing the way they do it, because for the most part, it works for Fox. It's like, it's different characters that should be treated differently. And I just think about, like, you watching Civil War, like, that's in a, like, even Winter Soldier and Civil War, like, adult movies talking about adult things. Like, it doesn't always have to be laser beams and explosions. And I know one of the criticisms, like, because people got on the Fox guy saying, like, we were able to do our movie our own way instead of worry about selling Happy Meals. And people took it like, well, you throwing shade at Marvel, and their movies make 2 to 3 times what you make. I'm like, great. And I got that too. But it's like, I don't need to see that from everything. I don't need, if Marvel's doing that, why should Fox and DC do that? Like, DC's making a mistake of trying to be like Marvel. No, don't do that. You have the advantage of having Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman. Make them feel special and do that their own way. Like, for real, Batman's an R-rated character.
He should,
like,
be, yeah.
Let's be perfectly honest. Like, you know, he's a broken man that never got therapy, and he runs around breaking people's bones, beating people up with child soldiers. Like, he has serious mental issues. And like in real life, imagine if Elon Musk, like, yeah, I could do this stuff for the environment or the community. Now I'm gonna take all this money and I'm gonna build the Tesla mobile, and I'm gonna go train in martial arts for 10 to 15 years and just use my money to fight crime and not involve the cops, and I'm gonna take orphans and have them fight with me. Like, he'd be a madman if you read that on 60 Minutes. Like, no, I could, like Bruce Wayne could fix Gotham crime. He just invested in the damn community instead of beating up the Joker and not killing him time after time after time again. Like, what are we doing? So everything doesn't have to be R-rated, because that's knuckleheadedness, but R-rated characters should be treated like R-rated characters. Like, treating them like kids does no favors for anybody.
Yeah, like taking a bunch of, you know, killer villains and then making it a PG-13 movie because Will Smith is in it.
Yeah, like Suicide Squad would have been much better, and I'm sure they wanted to, but they didn't. They were told no, which is hilarious considering how dark they have their movies. Mm-hmm. Batman versus Superman would have been better if it was less dark, if it was more PG-13-ish. Suicide Squad would have worked a lot better if it was rated R. And I'm getting the feeling where it's going to be some people want, like, Marvel will be fine doing what they do, but I'm sure DC is going to be some discussion. Other people's kind of like, maybe we need to rethink. Like, I know we're busy trying to chase all the money, but if you make a great movie your way, you'll make the money anyway.
Because it also, on that tip, looking at, like, the short footage we've gotten of Justice League, you know, there was a lot of jokes in there, and you just sit back and go, well, what? Like, where did the tone change all of a sudden? Because, I mean, maybe it'll get explained, but you got Man of Steel, which, were there laughs at all in that movie? I don't remember. To be honest, I don't remember.
It was maybe a couple here and there, but it wasn't a whole lot.
And then you got Batman Superman, which, you know, had
a few, and it's mostly from Batman.
Yeah.
And Wonder Woman. Like, Superman was running around mopey as hell. Like, Batman had his dry old man humor, and Wonder Woman just had her, you know, just by being herself, had some funny moments. But yeah, it's like, these aren't, I think it's the whole thing where people are ashamed of the movies they're doing. Like, and we've said this countless times, you know, like, stop trying to be realistic. I mean, you know, have a universe, have rules, stick to it, and have fun enjoying doing it. Like, I don't worry, like, Marvel people talking about, oh, you know, one thing about Marvel movies, they make sense. I'm like, they make sense to a degree, but I'm like, let's be real. And you look at the stuff that happened, they're like, they always say this happened within a week of each other, so people are busy. Can you imagine the actions of Iron Man 3, Captain America Civil War, and Thor 2 happening in the same week?
So
Iron Man 3, you got a terrorist running around blowing up, you know, places all over the world, and the president gets kidnapped. Captain America 2, you know, you have this explosion that happens with SHIELD. You find out they're really Hydra, and you have three helicopters crash. And then Thor 2 destroying London, and you got these wormholes that's opening up, and if that happened the same week, the world economy would be ruined. Like, that's like 9/11 and the tsunami from Japan happened in like the same week.
I was trying to think of another natural one just for the trifecta, but nothing's coming.
Yeah, along with, like, you know, Al Qaeda just blowing up France and Rome. Like, this happened within a week of each other, but we're all okay because Iron Man's on the scene. Like,
who may or may not be directly a cause of it.
Yeah, Trump, the economy and the stock market was acting haywire for like a week, and that was just one man winning the presidency. Can you imagine, like, that happened? Imagine if he won the presidency, but the week before Obama got kidnapped. And then, and 9/11 just happened to happen. We really be cool, like a week and a half. Like, so, I don't like realism only goes so far and stuff where you have flying space gods and a man in an iron suit that doesn't die every time he lands.
Well, that's why I was glad to see the kind of shift away. Did you see the write up for Thor?
Oh yeah,
that movie.
Yes,
I don't know, man.
I'm excited to see that movie because it sounds like it's gonna be batshit crazy, and they're just going all in. I feel like they let him, like, you know what, do what you want to do, long as it fit the storyline.
Well, I mean, it's gonna. I guess they needed to open up the space or the galactic melodrama. I mean, you've already got the Guardians of the Galaxy, which is fine. Obviously fine, because that movie looks like that. The second one looks like that's going to be fun as hell. But you've got Thor, who gets put on a prison planet that also has another girl there. I like how they say they cut his hair. Like, he's not Samson, you know? It's okay. So they cut his hair for whatever reason, and then he has to beat their champion, who is the Hulk. Huh?
How did he get there?
Yeah, which, if you don't read the comics, you really got to figure this one out. And then he comes back to Earth, and him and Hulk get together with Doctor Strange, and it was like, wait, what?
So they go to one place, come back to Earth, fix them all, and then go back to do even some more weird shit. It's kind of like, if you're going to go in, I think they learned with Doctor Strange and Guardians of the Galaxy, like, if you're going to go in, go all the way in. Do not half-ass. And with Thor, Thor is weird. Like, you just think about it. It's aliens pretending to be Norse gods.
Yep.
That sentence by itself just sounds like, how much weed did you smoke to think of that? So go all in.
Yeah, I mean, and that's good to what you were saying, though. Like, with DC, they're still trying to figure their stuff out. Well, Marvel's just kind of like, well, this was successful, like, incorporating other characters into Captain America, taking our espionage, spy, political characters, if you want to call Captain America a political character. And then you've got, you know, Civil War. All right, let's just get everyone together, see what happens, because we're going to pull the guy from San Francisco that shrinks. And we'll throw him in there, so then he can go back to his world where him and his new girlfriend are both going to be able to shrink or get big and fight. I don't know. They haven't really talked too much about Ant-Man 2 yet, but whatever they're going to do, it almost Marvel's embracing their diversity.
Comic wave.
They're comic books, and they're like, all right, this is how the movie should be. Where DC's keeps pulling back, and it's like, no, we got to do this. Like, look at your TV shows. The TV shows from DC have been hit and miss quality wise, but The Flash, that show hangs on to its goofy comic roots more so than Supergirl or Arrow does. And boy, it's been pretty good the last few episodes because of that. Whenever they do that, The Flash is better. So,
I mean, it's funny. Like, you couldn't imagine you watch the DC movies, then you watch DC TV where. If you watch like an episode of Legends of Tomorrow or something like that, and then you watch Batman vs. Superman, it's like, wait, these are both from who? Like, that's, you were like, no, because it's kind of like the TV shows, they know what they are, and they embrace doing stuff and doing weird stuff and out of the box things. The movies is kind of like, I'm embarrassed, or it's like they learned all the wrong things from Christopher Nolan. It's like, you can... Mm-hmm. Just because his movies were gritty and dark realistic doesn't mean they all have to be that way. Like, that works for Batman to a certain extent. You got Superman walking around in pajamas. Like, let's be real. Superman's supposed to be Superman. Have him be like Superman. Don't have him be like, you know, he's realistic in that universe, and the way they treat him will probably be how we would treat him in real life. But people don't want to pay money to see that. Like, they really want to see mopey Superman. It's just me and you, Lois. And my stepdaddy said, fuck him. He taught me that way. And my stepmom said, if you want to be a hero, that's fine. And if you don't, that's fine too. You don't owe nobody nothing. Yeah. Like, I might act that way if I'm Superman, but I doubt people want to pay money to see Superman act that way. Like, do it or don't. I don't care because you don't like me.
Yeah, like, it's funny how the movies can't get Superman right. But for the most part, outside of whatever whining that gets on my nerves, they get it right with Supergirl. You know, she's always trying to do the right thing. Like, she wants to be the hero. She's encouraging her friends who have powers to be a hero. Where the DC movie, Superman's like, nah, just whatever. Do whatever you want. Unless you're Batman, I'm going to shut you down because, you know, I became a moralist all of a sudden. Even though I don't really want to be helping people, I'm still going to do it. It's like, huh? So, I know we didn't finish the Thor thought, but a couple weeks ago on Supergirl, are you caught up on Supergirl, by the way?
Yeah, okay. I am.
All right, so her and Mon-El finally hook up, okay? And, like, the next morning he wakes up, she's gone to get coffee, whatever, and it was a very, and there's a point to this, it's a very offhanded comment. He goes, well, how many times have you woken up with somebody? And she goes, just four other times. And I'm like, okay. I was like, oh, so Supergirl's gotten laid before this guy. And I don't know, maybe it doesn't have the audience, okay? But I remember when Superman Batman came out, what a, not an uproar, but what a stink was made about Superman jumping in the tub with Lois Lane and insinuating that they're banging out. And then we have Supergirl, who blatantly is like, yeah, I almost said I'm human, but I look human, so yeah, guys want to get in it. So I thought that was strange. It's like in 4 or 5 years that it's been. It seemed to me like it was a double standard. Like, these are kids shows or kids movies, which is always the argument comes back to. But no, nothing was even said about it, which I thought was kind of refreshing.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that till you said that. Like, I must have missed it. And it's like, that normally is a big deal, because we've always talked about where they treat their characters as sexless. And Marvel kind of like, you know, they look like that, but they just hug.
Yeah.
Or, like, wink at each other. And it's like, and then the one time you do have romance is like the Hulk and Black Widow. Like, that don't even make any, like, what are you doing? But it's kind of like, you know, that's something where kids might embrace it, even though it has, like, it's tragic as hell, and they both have, you know, like, all that horrible baggage. And at least the whole thing is, like, the whole comics for kids stuff. It's like, not always. Like, it cracks me up where people in their 30s and 40s are making that argument. It's like, you want to have it both ways. You want it to be catered to you, but you want them to treat you like you're a child. Like, this whole comic can be R-rated. I'm like, you 45 years old. You got a mortgage. You got a mortgage. Like, you grown up. Like, I was saying, when the first X-Men movie came out, I was still in college. I was in my 20s. I'm close to 40 now. Like, I've grown up with these movies. I'm older. I feel differently about things. I have more disposable income. I'm slightly more cynical about stuff, but not all the way. It's like, I don't expect everything to be catered to me, but I don't mind what it is. Like, if it's enough, you can make a comic book movie for grown-ups and have it be for grown-ups. And every movie doesn't have to be like that. Let the kids still have their stuff. When Power Rangers come out, it's going to be hilarious where the grown-ups are going to be mad. Like, it's nostalgia for you, but they still make Power Rangers shows for these kids. Like, it's for the teenagers and kids. It's like, they know you're going to show up. It's not, but it's not for you. Like, they might drop some stuff in you. It's like, it's for the kids too. Let that be.
It was funny you mentioned Power Rangers, and I have zero interest in seeing that. But I never was into the Power Rangers either, which probably doesn't help. But yeah, anytime somebody says that comics are for kids, I was like, have you read one lately? Like, have you seen the? I mean, not just character. I'm sorry, not just story, but the art. I mean, these are finely crafted items now. It's not the old days where you got like what your five, six colors, whatever it used to be, and you know, mass produced on newspaper print. It's gloss, computer colored in most cases now. Finely produced pieces of art that come out every week, and in a series every month. It's totally different. Then you, and they also, they don't cost a quarter anymore, which would be probably the first thing I'd say. And then also, read the stories. It's not as subtle as it used to be. So, yeah, characters are hooking up left and right. The violence is in there. There's, you know, not over-the-top language, but so to say that they're for kids, it's like, I don't know what your perspective, where your line's drawn.
Yeah, and even then, if you say it's for kids, it's like, which, really, like, if you look at some of those, like the X-Men and everything like that, like, if you 8 or 9, a lot of that stuff's going to go over your head no matter if you read in the 70s or 80s. Like, and now, it goes back to the whole canon thing where they say, like, you know, the whole, I think a lot of things that come to the X-Men is, like, they're mad, they wish the X-Men were bigger than what they were, because there was a time where Spider-Man and X-Men were like the two biggest Marvel things going, and X-Men fans kind of feel mad where they look at Marvel movies and you know, Doctor Strange would make more than almost every X-Men movie that comes out, and it's like they don't look as fair. And my whole thing is, yeah, but there's a reason that happened too. Would you really like Marvel and X-Men, this, the one thing that X-Men kind of worked is because they've always been separate from everything. Mm-hmm. Plugging the X-Men in would open up so many can of worms. Not only would, like, what have they been doing this? You can do it like, you know, they've been hiding out in New York, whatever. Like, the same thing with Spider-Man, and the city just popped up. But it would just make all most of the Marvel characters, like, small change. Like,
yeah, we talked about like, this thing last week.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, Captain America one seems so special. You got Cyclops walking around. You know, X-Men handle galactic stuff. You guys handle, fraud. Oh. I mean, yeah, like, you, domestic terrorism. Like, you think Magneto's worried about the stuff? Like, Iron Man handle what? Corporate espionage, assassination attempts, and, like, fake domestic terrorism to build up stock market stuff. It's like, that's big stuff to him, but that's small potatoes. It's like, no. And the biggest thing is just different. Like, they do things different. It's a different vibe to it. Like, X-Men is not a superhero team. They're a family that just happen to have superpowers. Mm-hmm. That's almost impossible to do it the way you want to in a movie. Like, that's why the Fantastic Four has always struggled with that, and why the X-Men always struggle with that. Like, it's too much to fit in a short time frame. And when you try to do it, people get shortchanged. So, yeah, I know why they make the argument. I understand and get it. But it's like, it's no way that's going to... It's never be done the way that you really want it to be done. No matter, even if Marvel got... Because even to say Fox, like, you know what? I know we like making money, but we're gonna sell the franchise back for like $1 billion. And have Kevin Feige write the check. Okay, so now you got the X-Men again, and you got to recast everything and somehow plug it in with all these other superheroes that are out. Because it's not like Robert Downey Jr. and Chris Evans just going to retire. Like, oh, yeah, well, I'm kind of done with that. I guess I'm going to figure out what to do for the rest of my 50 and 60 years of life. Like, that's so,
well,
yeah.
Well, it cracks,
like,
me up, though, is how do you insert the X-Men just on that idea? So, oh my god, we got to stop this helicarrier from crashing. And Storm's like, oh, here, I've got a controlled tornado to keep it up while you guys fix it. Like, all right, can we move on to something else? Oh, yeah, hey, Hydra's taking over S.H.I.E.L.D. Okay, like, what's the big deal? That doesn't matter. So Rogue goes in, not Rogue, the shapeshifter. Oh my god, why am I blanking out? Mystique goes in, impersonates the head of Hydra, says, all right, we're done. And it just murders everybody. We're done. The X-Men overall, you know, stupid as that was, it, outside the Hulk and Thor, I mean, who else is going to give them a problem? Like, even with Cyclops, if, all right, Hawkeye, cool, you can shoot an arrow. Well, I'm just going to take my visor off, my giant red ruby beam is going to destroy everything in its path. So, cool. Good luck with that, pal. And even weren't of... Yeah, because Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch are supposedly mutants. Now, they're Inhumans in the comics, which I don't know how... I don't know how that works contractually, but not that it matters anymore, I suppose. But yeah, I don't know. It's almost like just leave well enough alone, and we don't need. If you want to do a crossover, fine, but you better put it on some giant level to where it's so big that they even out.
Yeah, it's almost the same thing that happened with like Civil War when you look at the two teams, and it's like these teams are not equal. I'm sorry, like Scarlet Witch is the only reason why this is not a blowout and the fact that they're friends. But on one side, you had Captain America, Falcon, Ant-Man, the Winter Soldier, Hawkeye, and Scarlet Witch. Fine. It's like Scarlet Witch, they make her out to be like, if she's not the most powerful, the second most powerful, like she's up there. Okay, the other side, you got Iron Man, War Machine, the Vision. I mean, Spider-Man, like, even, and Black Panther, like, come on. Like, Black Widow's the weakest member of that team. The rest of those five are murdering everybody else on that team. Like, if we gonna really be honest. And that's them. Imagine the X-Men just showing up. Like, people complain about comic things, about the stakes being so high where they're so powerful, you gotta save a city, and then save a country, and then save the world, and save the universe. That goes all out the window when the X-Men show up where, like you said, you know, it's small potatoes. Oh, you got a shield. And you got a metal arm and you can run fast. Like, that sounds so nice. like you got Jean Grey showing up that when she was Phoenix was blowing up star systems. Like, Storm controls the damn weather. All of it. Not just ice. Not just, you know, water. All the damn weather. Like, do people not realize what controlling the weather on the planet means? Like, these people walk around like Magneto said, we walk around like gods. Why are we messing around with these people? Like, Professor Xavier could put them all to sleep if he wanted. Yeah. That fight would be in 2 seconds. So, as nice as it sounds for young me, like, older me is kind of like, I know why I separated, and it's best to leave well enough alone because it's... Like, yeah, it's like it's bad enough when TV and the movies don't interact and you got to ignore all the stuff that happened to TV. And that's like, I know the reason, so I don't get mad at it anymore. Just inserting in there because, yeah, you would think you like it until you had it. And then it's kind of like, if you had the X-Men, would we be worrying about Thor or really Ant-Man like that? Like, yeah. No. Or the Guardians of the Galaxy for that matter. Like, if they had the Fox license, it'd be Fantastic Four, Silver Surfer, and X-Men. You wouldn't be worrying about the rest of them until maybe 10 years from now. Black Panther wouldn't be a thing. It's like kind of like them having to use lesser characters enhance them. So now those characters mean more. And you still get X-Men movies, for better or for worse.
It's funny you mentioned... Oh, to go back to the Thor thing for a second. So that comes out this year, right? That November?
Yes, I think. Comes out November.
Yeah, let me pull my sheet back up here. Yeah, because you got Guardians in May 5th.
And Spider-Man Homecoming later on.
Which is funny because I had forgotten about that movie. And they showed a preview last night before Kong. I was like, oh yeah, that's coming out soon. So I'm guessing we're going to see a trailer from it soon. Yeah.
Oh, they're going to beat you over the head with it when it's ready.
And then what else? Yeah, Thor is November 3rd and the Justice League is November 17th, so... But, so yeah, Thor, and they went the Guardians of the Galaxy route. I guess that's how we'll use that, which isn't a bad thing. But then you mentioned TV, and next Friday, is it next Friday? Yeah, the 17th of March, Iron Fist is dropping. We haven't talked about it too much, so I guess that's where we're going to... I guess, nice way to get into it.
Well, we're going to finish on a good note, ladies and gentlemen, because we're going to talk about a trailer we saw, but yeah, we can delve into Iron Fist.
Cause... I don't know, man. I hate doing this, but if the idea of a trailer is to get you interested in something, I look at it going, I'll watch it. Not... Like when Luke Cage or Daredevil Season 2, or even Daredevil 1, where I went, oh my god, when is this going to start? Like, I don't know about the binge-watching factor on this one, but just because of what we do and who we are, we're going to watch it, but I don't feel compelled to.
Man, I felt that way since it's dropped. And my whole thing is kind of like, until Marvel proves me wrong, I'll give them the benefit of doubt. But I'm like, from the casting to the set of the show, and like, even like, everyone's kind of seen the same thing. It's like, it's boring, and they do the same stuff you've seen. No, like, they do the same stuff you've seen, like, other shows where the whole, you know, the problem is, Arrow's existed, Batman existed, like the whole origin story they're doing, like we've seen it, and from what are you saying, we've seen it better from those shows. And it doesn't help there, the show's based on martial arts and Iron Fist being this badass that's better than everybody else, but it doesn't show in the show because it's kind of like Finn Jones. No, don't get a guy, like, if the guy needs to be this master martial artist, get somebody that knows how to fight.
There you go.
Like, don't try to coach it up in like 3 weeks and hope. Like, people forget about the Matrix. The Wachowskis had them, like, before we even film a day, you're gonna learn how to fight for a year. Like, they had all characters. Like, Keanu Reeves he's trained now, so people don't think about it. He wasn't trained like that when the Matrix came out. They put him to school. Like, you, Lawrence Fishburne, Hugo Weaving, Carrie Ann Moss, I don't care if you never threw a punch, y'all gonna learn how to fight. And not like a week or they trained for 6 months to a year to learn how to fight. And it makes a difference where I'm watching the movies like, I know Lawrence Fishburne had hands like that. It's like, he learned it. So when you see, and I remember we were making jokes after I saw him, like, from the cast, I'm like, I don't know. Like, he don't look like he got it.
Nope.
And all the reviews are saying, like, he got worse. Like, you can't be worse than Daredevil Season 1. And you still be the Iron Fist master of martial arts. Like, if it's like Batman. It's the whole thing. Like, when you get a Batman, he don't know how to fight. But you got other people around him that can. Like, it didn't affect Michael Keaton not know how to do stunts and stuff because nobody else around him could either. So he looked like a badass because you can be a 6 and look like a 10 if everybody else are 4s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's the problem with this one is if you got people who know how to fight and you've seen Netflix shows with people who know how to fight and you don't, and your show is Iron Fist and you're trying to make it like Ali McBeal, then you're going to have problems and you're going to get jokes. And that's what's been happening. They have been getting slaughtered online, like, from people who saw that. And it's like, yeah.
See, I didn't see any reviews. Then I went to Rotten Tomatoes because I wanted to see when it was coming out. And it was currently at 1%. And I was like, oh, shit. But there was only 9 reviews at the time. So I'm like, all right, that's no big deal. It's like, I don't like to prejudge stuff, but I didn't even remember him from Game of Thrones. So when they were like, he was in Game of Thrones, I'm like, oh, well, let's see what this guy looks like. And I went, oh, him?
Knight okay. of Flowers.
And, but didn't, what's the guy that's on Shooter?
Brian Fleep.
He was the rumored guy. And maybe I just got my head around that. So when it was this guy instead.
You know what? It's funny, it's Ryan Philippe, and normally I wouldn't worry about it, but seeing Shooter, I'm like, yeah, they should have picked him. And it's funny, you wouldn't even think about that with, like, Ryan Philippe. I'm like, oh, Cruel Intentions guy, the guy from Crash. It's like, it's funny where if you get somebody a chance, they have, like, Brian Austin Green being on Terminator. I would have never guessed that would have worked, like, him being this military badass, and it worked. And it's like, sometimes you never know. But sometimes you do. It's like, if you can't fight, I'm like, if you can't fight and you have a role where you're supposed to fight and you walk around telling about how you're doing it wrong, you need to do this with your kicks, and you can barely, you know, kick over a soda can, and the person who'll be training can do, like, real-life spin kicks, it makes everybody look bad. Because it's the whole racial thing comes up, too. It's like, oh, we get this whole white guy going to do stuff better than everybody else. He's going to show you. But he really can't. Like, it works when Tom Cruise does it because Tom Cruise can actually, like, it's an issue, but at least you know Tom Cruise can actually do it. It's, if you're going to pretend to be the best, you got to be the best. If you walking around like you're the best and you, like, the third and fourth best, you sound like The Miz. And you don't want him is leading your show. Like, no, that's the problem. And that sounds like that's a big problem. Like, we're going to both watch it because that's what we do, and I want to give it a chance. But from the time it first came, the way they talked about it, I was like, this is the one I'm least likely to want to like.
Yeah, I think the idea of the character's cool. I like the origins of it, you know, Hong Kong flicks, whatever, but I got nothing else. It just, we watch Arrow, Batman, it's that archetype, you know, the rich guy comes back, and even from the preview, he walks into his old building, it looks like, and he's in, basically looking like a homeless guy, and wondering why they're treating him bad. It's like, well, dude,
because you look like a bum.
Yeah, if I walked into Bank of America downtown Charlotte looking like I'm dressed right now, they'd throw my ass out too. Like,
don't you know who I am? I'm Jeremy Richardson.
Yeah,
I'm Jerry Richardson's my dad.
Yeah, so like, I want my free Bojangles, motherfucker, or is it Hardee's? Whatever it is, and I'm like, get out of here, homeless guy. I'm like, what? How dare you? Iron Fist. Like, what? Like, okay, sure.
Let me show you my glowing hand. It's like,
okay, that looks pretty cool. All right, no, yeah. Positive. That looks pretty cool. So,
okay, but I'm like, yeah, that's the only thing that looks cool is like the glowing part. Like, it's like you gotta,
yeah.
Yeah, let's talk about something positive before we go.
Yeah, we gotta wrap up, actually. I didn't realize how long the show's been going. We can't go into too much detail here because we do got to get out of here. It's no secret, if you listen to the show, what our favorite movie franchise is. It's no secret that these movies are batshit insane. And just when you think a submarine popping out of the water to chase down a Lamborghini, an orange Lamborghini, mind you, on ice, along comes the new Fate of the Furious trailer, and The Rock's, he almost seems like a superhero in real life, and in these movies,
they all are.
Oh my god! I mean, he catches a grenade, looks at it, is like, "Oh, I don't want this." Throws it to the side, and then I gotta describe the situation at work. People don't understand. People don't understand how great these things are. That's how jaded people are, and like how we take for granted what we're seeing. The same scene they show in the preview that now. The submarine has launched a torpedo at them, and it's gliding on top of the ice. All right, pretty cool. Never seen that before. So, how do they get rid of this torpedo? Oh, easy. Roman, take the wheel. The Rock, Hobbs, The Rock, jumps out. No, I'm sorry, not jumps out. Steps out of a moving SUV, or is it a Hummer? One of the two. Holds onto the door, straddles the torpedo that is on the ice, and starts guiding it away from everybody with his bare hands. If that doesn't make you drop your jaw, I don't understand why you watch movies. That is incredible. And I'm describing this to the guys at work, and they're like, "Oh yeah, yeah." So I was like, "I'm pretty sure I want to go see the Get Out movie." And I was like, "Did you guys not hear what I just said?"
Look,
a grown man guided a torpedo with his bare hands while sliding on ice, and you guys just blow it off like you've seen this before.
See, we've talked about that. It's kind of like the fans who are into this understand how ridiculous and enjoyable it is. But it's kind of like it's the same thing with Tom Cruise. Like Tom Cruise hanging off a plane in real life would seem like a big deal if you hadn't just watched, you know, Captain America. Yeah. You see somebody fighting on a helicarrier doing stuff. And it's like the worst part is where you just assume everything's fake and you just look at it. And then it's kind of like, oh, that stuff, they actually did it. And it's like, well, why? Why not just do a computer? It's like people complain. They want both ways where they complain that stuff looks fake, but when people do the real stuff, they don't appreciate the real stuff because, like, you've seen everything, you jaded everything. Like, you talked about that part. You forgot the part where apparently you can make cars turn in midair. I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah.
Where you're, yeah. Or
you didn't Charlize know that?
Yeah, I didn't know. Like, I guess I didn't go to driving school. Or Charlize Theron, she was watching Terminator 3 and it's like, you know what? That seems cool. Like I can just take over every damn, like, you guys like smart cars and Uber. So I'm going to take over every damn car in the city and just have them run like she turned into the damn Terminator. She got a little touchpad, is controlling like 100 cars they either flying out of the parking lots or it is like, and I'm just watching and I'm like, yeah, this movie is batshit. Or they're flying through jetpacks because I guess they saw Transformers 3 and like, you know what, that seems cool, but it was missing rockets. So let's add rockets to it. Like, I always wonder what they can do to, like, you know, raise the stakes because they've done so much. And I got the feeling, like, you know, they're going to be in space sooner or later.
That's the only possible thing.
Because it's amazing. It's like, I'm watching this. And I post, I'm like, you know what? If you like, this stuff garbage, just unfriend. We can't be friends.
Yes. Yes.
Like, I do not want to be friends with somebody like you. And it's this whole, I can't believe people actually watch them. Like, the last one made over $1 billion. Like, yes.
I would just comment with, I can't believe you don't want to watch this.
Yeah, like, that shit sound old at this point. Like, I could see you saying that, you know, maybe 4 movies ago, but it's like, everyone knows what this movie is. From Fast Forward, you have seen at least one of her, somebody has seen one. So don't, you can be to say, I don't like them, but don't be acting, that's like somebody say, oh, I can't believe somebody saw Captain America 2. Why the hell not? You don't really say that. You that surprise people excited. They want to see, oh, they're doing another Spider-Man movie. People want, I'm like, those movies make money.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, people I saw your post, and I saw some of the people who said, well, might as well unfriend me. And yeah, Johnny Shipwreck, I'm talking about you. How dare you? That, you know, when you have like a certain, like, I don't really know Johnny that well, and you know, but you see the stuff they write, and you're like, oh, that's funny. Now, I think some people just die. Some people die in your life, and that was an utter disappointment to see something written like that from him.
Yeah, well, it's old people, and older people tend to be, like, kind of set in their ways when it comes to stuff. Like, my whole thing is, like, people like what they like, and I don't get mad. But I know I have friends that get mad at me because I like the X-Men movies. They're like, you should, how come you like, or they make the joke saying, you seem to like most of the movies you see. I'm like, I'm at the point now where I have an idea what movies I kind of like, so I can avoid the bad ones. Like, I used to see a lot of bad movies in the 90s and early 2000s, but ever since the internet became a thing, I can kind of, like, skip them. Like, yeah, if it's a movie where it has, like, I can see a bunch of trailers or reviews that saying it's kind of garbage, and all of them are saying the same thing, I can wait till Netflix. I don't have to take a chance. Like, yeah, if Rotten Tomatoes was a thing and the internet was a thing, I would have, Catwoman would have been watched on TBS. I would have never went to the movie theater to see that. Like, back then, you never know. It's like, oh, Alien 4, the fourth Alien, first 3 were cool. I'll go see this one. Now it's like, yeah, I can wait. Just like I did with Total Recall, and that's what I do with, like, plenty of movies on the fence. Or The Great Wall, like, if I catch it, it'll be discounted prices. So, yeah, I don't go to movies to see bad movies because I can kind of figure out the bad before they come out. So, yeah, I haven't enjoyed most of the movies I see. Poor me.
On that note, let's get the hell out of here. So next week we'll do our review of Kong, Skull Island, and other stuff. Probably won't talk about Iron Fist because it won't be out. At least we haven't watched it yet, so.
Maybe someone will see Get Out, and we could talk about that,
yes,
too.
Yes, hopefully we can get to that next week, so, which we didn't talk about at all. So, so I'm out of here. Stunt Granny, all social media platforms, Stitcher, iTunes, all that good stuff. Thanks for listening, guys, and talk to you next week.
For Jeremy Mays, I am Shahida Duhati, and RIP to Bill Paxton. We are out.